Let's stand together, if you would. Genesis chapter 1, verse 31. Then we'll be going over to Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 1, verse 31. And God saw everything that he had made. We're not here by mistake. He had made. And behold, it was very good. The book of Genesis, now chapter 3, beginning at verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, ye should not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. Now she's added to the words of the Lord, and because she has added, things are going to happen because she had added. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die. For he doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired, and to make one wise, she took. Now she took of it, and she didn't die. She thought, well, if I eat it, I won't die either. But she didn't die physically, she died spiritually. And she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this time that we can gather for songs and for the reading of your word. And Lord, we pray that you would bless the message for your honor and for your glory. Thank you, Lord, for the salvation that has been provided through Jesus Christ. And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. Title of our sermon today is, Why Was a Savior Needed? We ask that question, why? John 3:16 says, For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Why did he need to be given? Why was there a need of a Savior? No deep theological discussion is needed. Simply put, man sinned, and thus he became alienated from his Creator, God. Sin separates children from parents, and parents from children. Sin separates husbands from wives, and wives from husbands. Sin separates us one from another. And sin separates man and woman from God. Romans 3:10 says, As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. Romans 10:20 says, Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. Again, in Romans 3, verse 23, you probably all can quote it, For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Sin. For the wages of sin is what? Death. Let's begin reading now at verse 8 of Genesis chapter 3. And verse 8 says, And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, The woman whom thou gavest to me to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. It's always a good thing to blame the wife. But you know what? God knows the truth. In verse 13, the Lord God said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. It's always good to blame the snake. Those slithery things. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. And I, the triune God, the creator God, we don't know how long Adam and Eve lived in the garden before they fell. Was it a day? Was it a month? How long? We don't know. But at some point in time, the temptation of don't do something makes us want to what? Do it. It's amazing how that works. Don't. Yes, I want to. And the battle rages on. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman. Enmity meaning animosity, hatred, loathing, rancor between the woman's seed and that of the serpent. But then also we find that Satan himself will be cursed. Warren Wiersbe writes, God pronounced sentence first on the serpent and then on the devil who had used the serpent, unquote. It seems that the creature Satan used once stood upright because God humiliated by putting it into the dust. I don't know if you've been to the Creation Museum in Kentucky, but we probably know that a new one is being built down in the Fort Worth, Dallas area there in Texas. And they are going to have a serpent upright in their Garden of Eden. Because usually you see it as a snake wrapped around a tree. But really, it was probably not a snake as we know it today. But as Warren Wiersbe writes, it was something that walked upright like the cattle in the fields. And it was cursed because of its part in this deed. And it says, it shall bruise thy head and thou shalt bruise his heel. Again, Wiersbe writes, this is the first announcement of the coming Redeemer found in the Bible. To God's old covenant people, this verse was a beacon of hope. Folks, people need hope today. They may have money and they may have jobs and they may have positions of importance and may have education and health and good looks, but that doesn't bring hope. Only Jesus brings hope, the hope of eternal life. But to the old covenant people, the Old Testament covenant people, there is the beacon of hope. To Satan, it was God's declaration of war, climaxing in his condemnation, and to Eve, it was the assurance that she was forgiven and that God would use a woman to bring the Redeemer into the world. Galatians 4, verses 4 and 5, and you see that in the bulletin. It'll be the verse Dr. Mark will be talking about in a couple of weeks. And it says, but when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. As we celebrate the Christmas season, and I don't really have to tell you that the chances that Christ was born in December are not very likely. It was set there to compete with pagan religion. Most likely he was either born in the springtime when lambs were being born, or he was born maybe in October when the taxes would have been wanting to, people would want to know about the taxes, and he was born at that time, but not December. But he was sent to redeem us because we are sinners. If we do not know Jesus Christ as our Savior, we will sadly spend eternity in hell. If we do not know Jesus Christ as Savior, this life is the best it will ever be, because it will only become one of torment upon death. So why do we need a Savior? A couple of weeks ago, we spoke to you from Genesis chapter 6 and verse 5, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Well, that was written before the flood. What do you think it would be like in 2018? Same thing, right? We live in a society that is just full of sin and corruption and wickedness. Last week, Paul Wutke read from 2 Kings 21:9. But they hearkened not, and Manasseh seduced them to do more evil than the nations whom the Lord destroyed before the children of Israel. The wickedness of man. And folks, we live in a wicked society. We live in a world that struggles with what is right. I was at the Sterling Heights City Council meeting, and you that were on here Wednesday heard me talk about the fact that I had gone to the Tuesday meeting because they were to be discussing the selling of marijuana within the city limits of Sterling Heights. And I remember in 1970, now some of you don't even remember 1970, but for some of us that were alive, in 1970 I was a senior at Stevenson High School. And I remember that they were debating if marijuana should be legalized in 1970, which tells you what, that the side that wants these type of issues never stops trying. Isn't it amazing how we that are in church work, we quit way too easy? See, some of you have family and friends that are lost, and you've witnessed to them a couple of times. How many times should you witness to them? Once? Twice? 10 times? 20? 30? How long is eternity? It's forever. Don't stop. Pray for them. Be a testimony to them. Be a witness to them. I'm not saying drive them away, but remind them of the importance of their eternal soul. And as I was listening to the people talking why we should have legalized selling of marijuana in Sterling Heights, I thought to myself, that sounds like pure humanism. Humanism. And folks, humanism is alive and well in Sterling Heights. Now, at this point in time, there are 4 women on the council and 3 men, and the 4 women all voted the same way. Thank you. I was glad that they did. But do you think that Mayor Taylor is going to leave it there? No, he'll bring it up again. So we have to remind people there's a right way to live and a wrong way to live. Because we live in a society that leans, well, unfortunately, we call it to the left. I'm not sure how it did that, other than they said, well, they left what was right. Some of you will get that later. Okay. He is a wonderful Savior to me. 5 quick thoughts. Number 1, He is a wonderful Savior in His work. Take your Bibles and turn to the book of John chapter 20. John chapter 20, and we're going to read from John 20 and also John chapter 21. His works declare how wonderful He is. And in verse 30 of John 20, it says that many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of His disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through His name. And then to the last verse of the book of John, and there are many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. Amen. He is wonderful in His work. My wife has, as you know, interests in many areas. I'm glad that I'm one of the interests in her life. We have 8 grandchildren. We have 2 sons. Notice I put the grandchildren before the sons. Isn't that interesting how that works? But we have 8 grandchildren, 4 granddaughters, and 4 grandsons. And they are interest to her. Then she has 3 dogs. Why they are not bald, I have no idea. They shed continually. Then she likes butterflies. She enjoys reading about them. But of late, it's birds. And so we have put bird feeders in our yard, which means that we have had to battle what? Squirrels. And so we have these things that protect the food from the squirrels. Well, you know what she's done lately? She's bought peanuts to throw to the squirrels. Corn? Yeah, have to get some corn. Anybody have some corn you don't want? Do they eat peas? They probably don't eat peas, do they? They're smart. Yeah. But she has made some special food for the birds. Now, she'd let me eat some of it, I'm sure. You can get that later on, too. But the fact of the matter, the birds think she's wonderful. Well, our Lord truly is wonderful because of his works. He is wonderful in his offering. If you would, the book of Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 10 and 12. He is wonderful in his offering. And it says in Hebrews 10:10, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. Folks, if we could work our way to heaven, he would not have needed to be sacrificed. If we could be good enough to get into heaven, he would not have needed to come. We would not celebrate Christmas. He would just say, work hard, work very hard, and I'll let you in. But that's not what happens. And I'm sorry for those who are in churches and in synagogues and in places of worship today where they are told if you are good enough, you can get into heaven. No, he is the one. And he is wonderful in his offering. He is wonderful in his nature. Colossians 2:9 says, for in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Jesus Christ is God. Okay, he is not a created being. Now, he was created in the sense that he was put within the womb of Mary. Kay was telling us this morning that there are people who are upset because Mary wasn't asked if she wanted this to happen. Doesn't that sound like a humanist point of view? Absolutely. But Mary was willing. Whatever needs to be done, Lord. May I say this? It was not easy for Mary. It was not. She was mocked. She was probably an outcast. And maybe one of the reasons she did not have a place when she got to Bethlehem is because the family said, uh-uh, you're pregnant. And we know that Joseph is not the father. But we find that, what do we find? It's a terrible thing to be 65. Oh, that Jesus is God. Thank you. Aren't you glad I have notes? Wow, thank you for laughing at that. But anyways, he is God. And God was willing to die for you. And if God was willing to die for you, that tells you there's only one way into heaven. And if you deny that way, you will suffer the wrath of God for all eternity. Point number 4, he is wonderful in his example. 1 Peter 2:21 says, for even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps. He is wonderful in his example to us. And last but not least, he is wonderful in his redemption. He paid the price. He entered the slave market of sin. He paid the full price because we were unable to pay any of it. None of it. I don't care how wealthy we are. I don't care how many good works we do. We could not pay any of the ransom. Colossians 1:14 says, "In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins." In whom we have redemption through his what? His blood. His precious blood that was shed upon the cross for you and for me. See, Christmas is great, but it would mean nothing if there wasn't a crucifixion. It would mean nothing if he did not hang on that tree. His coming as a Savior would have been incomplete if he had not died. He came that we might have the greatest of gifts. Paul wrote to the church at Corinth, calling it an unspeakable gift. Shall we stand together? 395 will be our invitation song. There's a great day coming. But there's also a sad day coming. For those that know Jesus Christ as their Savior, there is indeed a great day that's coming. For those who have rejected the gift, there's a sad day. We'll give you an opportunity to come today to get things right if you've never accepted Christ as your Savior. And if you have, are you living like he is your Lord and King? Dear Heavenly Father, as we have the invitation time, bless it, we pray. May the Spirit move. May hearts be touched. And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen.